everybody. We're here at Code Mash in Sandusky, Ohio. This is January of 2016, and I have with me Brian Gansler. Thank you for joining me. My name is Sarah Sexton. I'm a technical evangelist with Microsoft, and I would like to ask Brian to tell me all about his session. He's a speaker here at Code Mash, and he wants to inform us about REST, Ember, Angular, and a lot of other goodness about communicating like that.
Okay, well, we're at Code Mash, and I was saying earlier that this is my third year here. 2 years ago was my first year, and I had never heard of Ember before. Mm-hmm. Actually attended a session, learned about Ember, and now I'm back 2 years later actually giving a session itself on Ember.
Wow, that's very impressive.
Yes, fell in love with it, loved it.
So you must have made some pretty big strides between then and now.
Yes, have learned quite a bit. We started our own Ember meetup in Columbus.
Oh my gosh.
And yes, pretty much Ember. Love it.
Lit a flame in your heart.
I did. I really,
burning
really enjoyed
embers.
It. Yeah, we've made a few jokes that way. The company I work for is Fuse, so that goes well with Ember.
All right, so I've dabbled around with REST a bit, and there's an analogy that I like to think of just to help people visualize. And the terminology is kind of washy, but like, think of it like you're receiving mail and you put it in a mail room. And so when you think of the verbs that the HTTP uses, you've got like get, post, push, and stuff like that. And if you get something, then you want to go get a piece of mail. And if you want to put, then like you're writing a letter, you're putting it in an envelope, and you send it out. And the envelope is like a packet or...
Yes, so REST is pretty much just using the HTTP verbs. Get, post is the one you were talking about. Put is an update. And Ember data uses the REST equivalent to fetch data and manipulate it. It has a serializer and a deserializer that massages the data that comes back, puts it in a common form. So Ember data really is all about a standard way of accessing the web.
Right.
Ember is all about configuration over convention over configuration. There's a set names. If you do it, it works for you.
So like back when the internet was first used to kind of digitize documents that were mostly text and they were just using HTML, they did things a different way. But now that the web has sort of evolved and moved on, REST is like taking the old way and saying, we have a much better way to do it. Let's standardize it.
Yeah, they originally went with SOAP, which was the XML, which is very close to the HTML you said. SOAP was very complicated to set up. The REST is a much more simpler, because you're falling back on just the HTTP verbs, to make the access requests. It's just a simpler way of doing it.
Okay, so you gave your session already?
No, my session is tomorrow at 3:30.
Are you excited?
Yes, this is my first presentation ever, not only at Code Mash, but ever, so we'll see how it goes.
Are you prepared?
Yes, I am prepared. I have actually given it two other times to smaller groups to, you know, kind of get a feedback. We've changed some things for it to make sure it was a better presentation, but yes.
Was that an eyes forward lecture or was it a hands-on lab?
The problem with the Code Mash sessions is they're only an hour, and this was a very broad subject. So I tried to do a hands-on one, but the hands-on required too much back and forth between the screen and the computer. It just got a little out of. I just stuck with the slides to get them through what we needed to cover. A precompiler they have here are 4 hours. It would have been better as a precompiler. I could have covered a lot more.
Could you have chosen to do a precompiler or?
The precompilers take a lot more effort to do, and I kind of decided to do it too last minute to maybe make one of those.
So maybe next year.
Already going to do one next year.
You are
going
on
to submit
the ball.
One. Yes.
All right. Very cool. So, what do you think you're hoping to convey to the audience? Like, what's the basic knowledge?
Well, Ember is a framework, so I'm going to assume that a lot of the people coming are not familiar with the Ember framework, and I'm going to stick just to the REST, but hopefully when they come out, they'll say, that was so easy to do back-end communication, we need to look at this. So it really does, because there's a lot of standards, and there's a naming convention. If you follow it, does a lot of the stuff for you. I'm hoping this come out and they'll say, we've been writing that all by hand all this time. This is going to do it for us.
I see. So you're targeting a beginner audience that hasn't really messed with Ember yet, and then...
Yes. When I was here 2 years ago, beginning audience. Last year, there were actually no Ember sessions at all, mm-hmm. which is why I decided to submit one this year. There are a couple this year. A friend of mine also submitted one as well. But we submitted a few to try to fill that gap because there weren't any last year. And obviously, I'm glad I came the year I did, or I would have missed out on that. So,
what's the hometown where you have the community?
Columbus, Ohio.
And how many members do you have in your Ember meetup?
We've only started like 6 months ago, and I think getting the word out's been a problem. We have about 8 to 10.
Okay.
Really hope to have a bigger one, but.
If you only started 6 months ago, I definitely understand how it's like you got the organizers and now you just need to branch out and get the members.
Yeah, get more people to even know it's there. I've met a few people here from Columbus, did not even know we had a meetup, and they do Embers. So
fantastic.
Just getting the word out.
So how is Ember related to Angular? And is there anything you want to tell me about Angular for
I did. Ember, it's just a different way of doing it. Ember is a framework, Angular is a framework.
Are they competitors?
They are technically competitors, yeah. So I prefer Ember. Angular is much more popular, but Ember's gaining ground.
Okay, maybe like what are some pros and cons that you might know of?
That's a pretty big topic. Angular is a little easier to start up with. Ember is a little harder to learn, but that's only because it's more complex and it does more for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's that, without actually going into a big speech, I guess, that's okay. A little harder to say.
No problem. I've always wondered why Angular was called Angular. Is it because of the angle brackets?
I don't actually know. Apologize. I am not an Angular guy. I'm Ember.
Okay.
I looked at them both, and I chose Ember over Angular.
All
so.
Right. I apologize as well.
I do know a few things about Angular so that I can talk to them, but don't know why they call it Angular.
Do you know why Ember is called Ember?
Do not know that either, but I should. No, I do not.
I'm curious about the weirdest things. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Do you know which room you're speaking in here at Code Dash?
I am speaking in the Porsche room, which is right around the corner.
And now, is that like a classroom style, or is it like a lecture hall?
It is a smaller classroom style. I think they try to guess how many people are going to come.
And, this
and
is
as
your
I
first
said, it's my
presentation.
First presentation. Ember is kind of a little smaller community we're still building. And I don't mean small, like a few hundred people. It is a very large community. But if you actually go out on GitHub, you'll find Angular has a bigger community.
So what kind of a background do you come from before you heard about Ember?
Man, I've been doing this all over the board. I started with punch cards. So,
yo.
You know,
I've been here. Bet over here.
I've been here for a long time. I've done mainframes, I've done mid-range, and then eventually made the contrast over to PCs. I've done C#, so I've done Microsoft type Windows applications. Now I'm actually in web, so it's JavaScript, web-based applications. I've been around.
Whenever I hear about people using punch cards, I remember a story someone told me. A woman, she was riding a bike in the wind, and she had a knapsack full of punch cards. They were all in order, and she like took a spill on her bike. The knapsack flew open. The wind blew the punch cards all over the street, and so she had to gather them up and reorder
them. There is
them.
A very specific order. You have to hand put them back in order again. If you drop them, you don't do that.
I felt so bad for her.
Yeah.
Do you have any stories like that?
No, my punch cards were right on the tail end of it. I did use punch cards, but not to the degree that she was using them.
Okay. Fun stories from the past in the history of computers, though.
Yeah.
Okay. What else are you excited to talk about?
Well, I can tell you a little bit just about the Ember data is the fact that this is an add-on that goes to the Ember ecosystem that helps you with the REST layer. So when you're actually coding and you say, give me patient number 52.
Like hospital patient?
Yeah, like a patient. Yeah, patient number 52. Ember will actually figure out what the endpoint REST URL is for you. You don't have to code that. It'll figure it out. It'll make the REST request. When the data comes back, it massages the JSON for you, puts it into a common model, and hands it off to you.
Okay.
When you update it, it reverses that situation and does it for you. There are plenty of hooks to if everybody's API is not the same. So I'm sure that Ember's guess might not always be correct based on your API. There are a lot of hooks. You can say, well, that's close, but let me massage it just a little bit. So you don't have to write the whole thing. You just only have to write the exceptions. Your API is different from theirs.
So a question for beginners watching at home. When you say it massages the data, can you explain what you mean when you use the word massage?
So in order to have a common REST or a common data store for cache, Ember has a way that it formats everything. your JSON, when you request it, may not be in that format.
Okay.
So it needs to move patient down to here, move the ID to here, put this to here, put it in a format to be a common format, because everybody out in their API stored completely differently.
Okay.
And this is trying to get it to be a standard, so it all looks like one way. And then, of course, when you post back out, it has to put it in your API's format on the way back out.
Like, so it revert it back to the
revert way it back to the way it was. And it handles all that for you. You don't have to actually write that yourself.
Very interesting. Okay. Now, can you continue on with your story?
As far as the
data.
So it also implements a caching system. So when you make the request and the request comes back, stores it in the cache. So the next time you make the request, it doesn't have to go get it again. It has some nice little hooks for invalidating the cache. So you can easily say, if this record is more than 20 minutes old, go get me a newer copy. Don't use the cache version. Handles a lot of the stuff like that. But it's pretty much the data communication back and forth between your API.
Now, do you think, how much time do you think Ember has saved you?
Well, so this is Ember data, but Ember in general, oh yeah, lots of time. I remember when I was doing web pages before and it was very tedious to write.
Mm-hmm.
This pretty much says, here's all the stuff that seems boilerplate and people have to keep doing again.
Yeah.
Let's write a standard for it. And that's what Angular and all the other frameworks are trying to do. But I think Ember succeeds the best, at least my opinion.
Okay. Let's see. What is something that you that sticks out in your memory from here at CodeMash? Any of the years you've been here, like, what's your favorite memory from CodeMash?
I'm going to have to say the Ember conference, because obviously that spurred me on to do a lot of other things.
Okay, second favorite memory.
Second favorite memory. Man, I don't know. You kind of caught me off guard. I don't have one.
Not the little kids. The adorableness?
No. Sorry. You have to edit that out.
Okay.
No, I don't have a second memory.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Okay. Is there anything else that you want to discuss while we're here?
Again, the Ember, the particular one I'm giving is a little more technical, so it takes a little bit more time. Definitely check out Ember. It's a growing community. It is very well maintained. Most of the people that are working on it do it for a living. They don't actually get paid, but I mean, their job uses Ember, so they make it better. It's actually used by people who are using it, that's maintaining it. It's grown a lot in the last year. It's a great tool. I love it.
Now, is there ember.com to go download it?
Yes, so there's an Ember.js, which is gives the information all about it. And there's also an Ember CLI. The Ember CLI is its build tools.
So is that like the command line interface?
It's the command line interface. So prior to that, most of the other frameworks, Ember included, you pretty much had to do grunt and gulp and to build your pipeline. Ember has taken all that away from you. CLI, it comes with it. So literally, if you go to the thing and you download and install it, you have a running application right then. You don't have to do anything, then you start tweaking it.
There you go.
No building of the pipeline, no figuring out how to minify things. It's all taken care of for you.
Okay, so what are some other like tools that you like to use? What's your development environment?
So we do everything in Chrome. Chrome has the best debugging tools that we've seen. Ember also has an inspector, which is really nice. So in Chrome, we can actually look at the running JavaScript application. It's got an Ember data section specifically for me, so I can actually look at the cache, all of the data, change it right in the inspector and manipulate it. Those are pretty much really the only ones I have for the web development. IntelliJ is the editor I use. It's really good.
Okay. Yeah, I recently discovered that Chrome has a mobile emulator. It was always right there, right under my nose, but there's a tiny smartphone icon.
Yes.
Right next to the inspector icon.
For the particular application I work on, we do run in a kiosk. We have a smaller screen.
Mm-hmm.
I actually use that mode to manipulate, get me down to a smaller screen. We've had some network issues at some of our places, so I use the throttling and stuff in order to gauge how the activity is going to work.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us here at CodeMash. Good luck with your session, and I hope that you enjoy the rest of your time here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.